Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Now I can. I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right. Do you hear any music or anything?
No, but it just hung up on me, though.
I did that because I didn't know. I'm doing it tonight, so I'm trying to get it right. I'm going to wait for a couple of more minutes. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
All right, babe. Hello? And then I'm going to get ready to start. Amen. Good evening, everyone. This is Apostle Deborah Dean. And I'm trying to get this thing right. Amen. I just thank and praise God on tonight for being able to be back on the radio broadcast. I give him glory and I give him praise on today. He is just such an awesome God. And I thank the Lord for him. I didn't get the music right yet, but it's going to come. I'm going to learn how to do that. And God is just teaching me, and I'm so grateful tonight, you know, and giving God all of the praise and glory on tonight. I'm going to call our Bible study to order now. I'm going to read a scripture and pray. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause in thy throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destruction are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever, and he hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. I have just read you Psalms 9 from the 1st through the 9th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, most of all the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come this evening humbly before your throne of grace, Father, asking you right now to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come asking if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Father, forgive us right now. Search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now. We ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask you right now, Lord, to bind the strong man up right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bind him up on today, Father. We ask you right now to send him back to the pits of hell where it come from, in the name of Jesus. Father, we take control over these airways right now, over the atmosphere right now, in the name of Jesus. And we release your anointing right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you so much. and we just cannot get along without you. We love you, Jesus. I ask you tonight to let me decrease, that the Holy Spirit may increase and teach your word, teach your people, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now. All these things I ask you in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen and amen. Amen. This evening, somebody got there. I can hear somebody now. Let me see. Okay. Amen. And everyone's line is open. Everyone that's on here, your line is open. Tonight I want to talk about the heart, the human heart. So we're going to be coming from Proverbs. We're going to be coming from Proverbs chapter 15 and 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Most people are motivated either for good or for bad, more from their emotions than their intellect. Not because your emotions is stronger than intellect, but because such motivation is the easier of the two. Emotional motivation is not necessarily a good thing, and it's not. I'm going to read over in Proverbs chapter 28. Let me get Proverbs 28. See, the heart, God looks at the heart all the time. 28 and 26 says, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. We can't trust them hearts. The word of God said, you can't trust it. You can't trust your heart, your emotions in that heart, because you get so emotional, tied up with it. You get messed up. He said, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So we ought to want to be delivered. We ought to want to be delivered. If we trust in our, if we're trying to trust in our own heart, we can't do that. It says, the complexities of life are so great and the problems so heavy that the more we face them, the more mixed up we become. Therefore, it is imperative to keep our hearts and emotions under control rather than being ruled by them. See, sometimes, it's, I tell you, and I've been guilty of it. That's why I can speak on it. Because sometimes we let our emotions get the best of us. And we shouldn't do that, especially when it comes to ministry. We can't do that. Our emotions, and I'm talking about when it's a decision you have to make. When it's a decision you have to make, especially when you're ministering to people, you got to make. I had a young lady, and I'll just say this. I'm hoping she's not on here today. Yeah. Anyway, she called me, and she said, Deborah, she called me, Deborah, she said, she started crying. She said, I'm just so tired. I got my husband problems, and she was just talking and crying and talking. She said, I need you to tell me what to do. And I felt so sorry for because she just got married. She just got married and moved out of state. I said, listen, I said, did you date the man long enough? Do you know who you're married? You can't, and this don't have anything to do with the ministry. I'm telling her this because she way out of town and don't have no relatives where she is. And she's saying for me to tell her what to do. No, you better ask God what to do because, you know, And my emotions could have said, just leave and get rid of him and leave. No, because he's doing you this and he's doing. No. No. You know, the word of God said, who God put together, let no man put asunder. I'm not going to tell no woman to leave her husband. I won't do it. Will not do it. Mm-mm. So I had to. Even though I'm an apostle, and I knew what she was trying, and then she said, "Well, if I don't want to go back to Missouri," she said, "I'll just stay here. I bet you will. But then you got to get a place. You know, it's hard enough. I tried to explain to her, but I don't think she was in her spiritual mind." I was trying to explain to her how the enemy is attacking marriages now. So, you know, I told her I would call her when I got home. I have it. But that's a good example of somebody trusting in their own heart. You can't do that. Now, her children, her sons are calling her husband, threatening her husband. He haven't touched her. The only thing he said that I know was kind of feeling hurting was, do what you want to do. She said, well, I'm leaving. I'm this. I'm that. He said, do what you want to do. I'm not trying to stop. So that hurt a feeling right there because, you know, you don't want a man telling you do what you want to do. You want a man to say, don't go. So that's what she was looking for, and she didn't get it, so she hurt. But if she trusts in what her heart's feeling right then, she a fool. I said, you need to wait. Wait, no, I want you to talk to me, not as a preacher, not as a pastor. I don't know no other way to talk. I don't. It's the truth. And I'm not going to tell a lie. So I didn't call her back. I will check on her, though. But, therefore, it is imperative to keep our hearts and emotions under control rather than being ruled by them. That's what I'm saying. You don't want to be ruled by them. Now, we're going to talk about a broken heart a little bit. People can become aspirated and give up. Exasperated means troubled, annoyed, vexed, mad, and they give up. Colossians 3:21, let me see what he's saying about this. Over in Colossians 3:21. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Okay. In Proverbs 17:22. Let me get it, y'all. 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So it's telling you right there, when you have a merry heart, it does good. But a broken spirit or a broken heart dries up the bone, the marrow. The heart is overly sorrowful and the spirit broken. If a person's spirit is broken, that it's like if a person's will or a person's desire or a person's vitality is broken, what positive thing is he capable of doing? What positive thing can he do? Nothing. He cannot help himself. That's Proverbs 18:14. He can help others. And others cannot help him. Because spirit is broken. His will and desire is broken. A lot of times I think about people when they have to go to prison. And they try to break their spirit so they won't feel like they're nothing. They try to break them down. They will. Their desire. You know, you can't look like nothing. You can't talk like nothing. You can't act like you got nothing. And I experienced that when I took my daughter. I sent her some clothes. And she told me, send me a necklace or something to go around my neck and some earrings. Well, when we had the ordination, Brindella was selling jewelry. So I bought a nice blue necklace to go with her jumpsuit and the earrings. And she said, just put it in the purse and send it. I put the earrings in the purse, like she said, in the necklace and sent it. But when the officers went through there, the woman officer, she wouldn't let her have it. She broke it and tore it up. Tore it and broke it so she couldn't put it on. And I said, Mimi, what happened to the necklace? Oh, don't worry about it, Mom. I said, where is it? Oh, I got it. I said, give me that necklace back because I paid money for that. And they trying to break your spirit and break it so you can't look nice. They can't tell you after you leave out of there what you can put on. I just, that kind of got to me because that's what they do. They try to make you feel like you're nothing. When I say nothing, I mean nothing. I got that experience, but it's like breaking your spirit and your will, your desire. Anyone have any questions or anything, any comments? Okay. Difficult to share in when you have a broken spirit. That's Proverbs 14:10-13. Because a man's most inward feelings are known only to himself and God. And sometimes he camouflages his feelings. Camouflages it. He hides and he put up a wall. You know, let me read Proverbs 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doeth not intermeddle with his joy. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of the mirth is heaviness. So, and that's how we camouflage. Sometimes I hear people say, we laugh in the key from crying, because we have it, it's down in our spirit, it's down in our heart. But we try to be cheerful. We try to be, we try to have a uplifted spirit, and we try. And I'm going to use myself for example. I used to do it good when I was married to a preacher. And, you know, when you're married to pastors, I don't care how bad you argued. I don't care how bad you fought before you got to church. Once you get to church, you can't go in there with a crazy look on your face. You better go in there with that smile on your face, looking happy, pretty, and whatever else. And that's all. That's a lie to me. That's how I feel about it. You know, they want you to always be looking happy and know you're going through hard times, but you got to have a smile on your face all the time. You got to be pleasant. Whether you're sick, feeling bad, just in fault all the way to church, you got to be looking like that. And it's all a lie. And God knows. And I'm telling you, I've done it too many times. Because when you at a Baptist church most of the time, they don't even look at the husband. They look at the wife. If she's looking stupid in the face and eyes all watery and teary, then they know something wrong. But she got to be upbeat and go head on, Pastor, preach and whatever. She ain't rooting for them. They're going to wonder why you not rooting for them. See, that's a deceitful thing. That's deceitful. Okay. Anyone have any questions or any comments? It comes to 25 and 20.
Yes, I have something to say, Apostle.
Okay.
I understand the message what you're saying, because after my mother had died, you know, I had got into a situation with my father. It left me homeless and everything. But you know what? I'm truly learning in the midst of it to praise God, because, you know, I may not have my home, but I thank God because he still blessed me with a vehicle. He still blessed me, still maintain the things that I do have. And, mm-hmm. I mean, at first I was so broken to the fact where I felt like life was over. And I'm like, God, how you called me, you know, to do ministry? How you called me to do this? And I got to be obedient to follow people. And I'm like, well, how can I maintain all of this without a roof over my head? But you know what I can say today is that he truly, truly teaching me. He let me know, you know, what's in my life good, what's not in my life good, even though some things I'm still holding on to. But I'm grateful because it still let me know some things that no matter what comes up against me, I know some things that I'm not going to do, because I mm-hmm. know God is on my side even still. And I know in spite of where you can go, where you can't go, you know, you gotta make a decision. You know, somebody may say, well, hey, Dorita, you come stay with me. Hey. But the bottom line is that I'm learning that even though somebody invites you over, you just realize that, you know, you're not there to stay there for good. You there just temporarily. And the fact is that my thing is that wherever he allows me to go, I still have to pray the fact that I don't pick up no extra bad habits. You know, can't nobody, you know, I can't open the door for no extra stuff or somebody trying to rape you, trying to molest you, trying to take advantage mm-hmm. of you, of your situation. You know, because this is the part that God is making clear to me even now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, well, mm-hmm. people feel like, okay, well, since you're in your situation, well, now you got to deal with me. You got to deal with this. You got to deal with this. And I'm like, okay, God, now this is not God. So this let me know that this is not God. This is an enemy trying to find whatever he can to present before me in the midst of my trial, my tribulation, to see what am I going to do. If I'm going to take this door, if I'm going to take that door, what door am I going to take? Or I'm just going to believe God and just say, hold on. You know what? You know, I'm just going to hold on a little while longer because I know change is still on the way. I know there's mm-hmm. still hope on the other side, on the end. At the end of that tunnel, there's something, God got something for me. And I'm not mm-hmm. going to allow myself to be set back because of the obstacles, the situation that you do have to face on a day-to-day basis. Because like I have to realize that we all have to go through this. We all have to see what it's like. Just so when you get to that place in God, you can never say you don't know how you got here, but you know this, that, things had to push you to that place just so God can get the glory out of it.
So
I'm still staying focused. I'm still maintaining. But I just wanted to just, you know, just share a little bit with, you know, just share a little bit of that. Bless you, Pastor.
God bless you, too. Prophetess Dorita, and I do understand, because when I tell you what you go through for the gospel, for the ministry, what you have to go through, you know, and it's not, it's how you go through. And, you know, it's a situation where God will do, but he'll allow us. It's like the shaking and the beating and the pressing. And he, you know, he'll allow things to shake us up and beat us and press us. But once we go through the shaking and the beating and the pressing, it's preparing us for what he has for us to do. But we got to go through the shaking. We got to go through some beating. And we got to go through some pressing. And I'm telling you, it's not always easy. But I do know that God will, if he take, bring you, put you in it, he going to bring you through it. If he put you through, take you to it, he going to bring you through it. Because that's the kind of God we serve. That's the Father we serve. Yes, ma'am, it is. And I do understand. It's difficult to cheer up. That's 25 and 20. Attempts to help often make things worse. And I just feel like you just have to try to depend on God. We have to lean and depend on the Lord. That's what we have to do. When things don't always seem right, when things, see, he'll put us in a place where we can only call on him. I've been homeless so many times, it ain't funny. It ain't funny. I can tell you some things. I can tell you some things. When I had to sleep on a casino lot so I can go in, because it stay open all night long, and I can go in there and use the bathroom or go in there and wash up in there and change clothes in there. And I just slept on the grocery store lot, 24-hour grocery store lot, for the same kind of thing, you know, in different states. This haven't been in my home state. This was in different states, you see, where I don't know nobody. I don't know who to ask for food. You know, it's been, I understand. But God will put you in a place where you can trust, you can only trust in him. And when you trust in him, he'll send a raven. He'll send somebody to you, because that's what happened to me. That's what happened. He sent a man, an angel, and got us off of that cold lot in Chicago. We never seen him before in our life. Took us to his house. Gave us a key because they had to go to work the next morning. God did that. We don't know these people. Don't know. But God, I tell you, he is a God above everything that think they are God. He is the Most High God. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for him, if it was not for the Lord, if it was, had not been for him, who was on my side, I don't know where I would be today. I'm telling you, I've been through the storm and been through the rain, a shaking and a beating and a pressing. What can break one's spirit? What can break our spirit? What can break somebody's spirit? Fear. Fear, and that's in Proverbs 29. Let me see. Oh, my nose. Let me see. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way of abomination is the wicked. So the fear of man bringeth a snare, bringeth a problem. The fear of man, it bringeth a snare. I always want to call me at this time in the day. I understand. God bless their heart. Let me see. A snare means to gain control of or advantage over something that leads one into a place or a situation which escape is difficult. So that's what a snare is. The fear of man bringeth a snare, difficulty. But whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Man seeketh the ruler's favor. See, he ain't thinking about the Creator. But every man's judgment comes from the Lord. You better stop thinking what somebody else can do, because man ain't got no heaven or hell to put us in. What can break one's spirit? Anxiety. Okay, I didn't even finish that. Fear cripples one's confidence. I'm sorry. Fear cripples one's confidence, enthusiasm, and optimism. Our own phobias, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of inadequacy, become stronger than our fear of God. A guilty conscience sometimes causes fear. It can result in a great emotional distress, paranoia, and produce one's own fantasy world. Now, I know I've always, not always, but for years I've had that fear of driving fast on the highway and stuff. I'm not, if I have to drive on the highway, believe me, I will, if I'm put in that predicament. But I don't like it. I don't like it because you have no control of another man's vehicle. You only can control what you're on, so what you're driving. So that's that, and God is dealing with me even about that. Mm-mm. So what are some fears that you have? What are some fears that you have? Anybody?
Are you asking a question?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, one of my fears is, and I have to pray about it all the time, is earlier today, my boys was talking about guys, and I was just listening to them talk about them, and just how they was talking, I knew exactly what they was saying. Like, my oldest son was like, people just don't be praying to God and praising God. They don't be praying at school. And then Zeke was like, he be making us food and he got us a house. And they just kept just talking about it. And one of my fears is that I don't want them to grow out of it. You know,
oh,
I don't want them to stay that way.
Well, you don't have to fear about that, because the Lord said if you bring them up in the fear of God, that he would keep them there. They may stray away for a minute, but they coming back. Mm-mm. You don't even have to worry about that. That shouldn't be a fear, because God got them.
Right, that's why I pray about it, because I try not to fear nothing, like, you know, the dark. Mm-hmm. Still trying to get over it. Bugs. Stuff like that. I'm still trying to get over
yeah.
it. I'm praying about it and stuff.
Yeah,
but
well, so.
One of my biggest ones, I just want the best for my boys, and I want them to always put God first in their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I understand. Anyone else got fear, they want to talk about a fear. You know, fear can come from rejection, from inadequacy. You know, because we feel like we're not good enough and stuff like that. I don't feel like that.
Good evening. I think a fear that I have, I guess, and I've been going through this all my life, and I think it is a part of rejection, and it's being alone. I'm a loner anyway.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a loner. You know, most prophets, they're
mm-hmm.
loners. And, you know, you treat people, the golden rule of the Bible is to do unto others as you will have others to do unto you. And you practice
mm-hmm.
this throughout your life, everywhere you go. Even with Christians and saints, you practice this golden rule. And people do not treat you the way that you treat them.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. And you
mm-mm.
show them loyalty, and you treat them, you know, Christ-like in the way that you want to be treated, and they do not treat you the same way. And so I think that my biggest fear, you know, it's a part of my life growing up is rejection. And I experience
mm-hmm.
that just about every day. And, yeah, so that's a fear of mine and something that I still go through.
Okay. Well, I hope that go away because, you know, everybody love you. And, you know, sometimes God be getting us ready for a lot of things because even in your younger years, I was thinking about you the other day and how, you know, you came up, you was a peculiar child anyway, you was a fighting child. But you was a peculiar child. You didn't really just hang with no lot of girls. No way, never have. Just hung with a lot of girls. And, you know, you was a loner then. So, you know, the enemy always try to make you think, you know, it's something else, but it's not. Can you all hear me? Somebody speak.
Amen.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't eating all kind of stuff. But God has blessed you. In the thing, see, this is what I'm saying. The things that you've been through in your life, a whole lot of people don't know what you've been through in your life. Even to even receive rejection, you know, to feel like that. People don't know what we've been through. And I was just saying today, I said, Lord, I'm going to try to talk about on television. I don't look like what I've been through. And this is what all of us are. That's what we're saying. That's us. We don't look like what we've been through. You've been through some things in your life. You've been through some stuff in your life, every one of us. And it's for the making of the ministry that God has called, for the calling that he has on your life. That's all it is. That's what it is. And God's word won't return
Amen.
Void. It won't.
Amen.
It won't return void. And I just thank and praise God on today because I do know that what you've been through is for the ministry.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It's for the ministry's
Amen.
Sake.
Amen.
So, I mean, God has brought you to a point in your life. It's almost, I could just pick your spirit up. You got that love in your spirit and your heart, and you doing things for people, and you're trying to be a role model, and God is blessing you to do that. Because, you know, the stuff you go through, you know, I would have walked away a lot of times. But I try to run in loving on people. You know, I try to just love on people, just love on them. Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? How can I help you? Let me pay for this. Let me do this. I try to do that. But always, that may not be how God wants everybody to do. You know, I'm doing what I can do in for his love, but everybody have a different way of showing their love for people and stuff like that. But you, honey, if you would get up and testify sometime, you are the church erupt, because people don't know you. You had spinal meningitis and stuff like that when you was a kid. This don't have nothing to do with nothing but her spine, you know, and meningitis. And that was very, very dangerous. But how God took her through, she just slept and she felt hardly no pain, no time. And it was just amazing. It was amazing. God said, "No, I got so much for you to do. I can't allow this." I got, and the people over at Cardinal Glennon Hospital was just so amazed how rapidly God brought her out of there and healed her body. So, you know, people don't know what you've been through. And I know you don't remember because you was 18 months. So, but it's you know, we go through things for the call that's on your life. A lot of times, that's what we go through things. We go through things, and you know, I feel like to whom much is given, much is required. Who else have fear? Anyone else?
Amen. I have a fear of large bodies of water.
And me too.
I do. I mean, I can swim, like in a swimming pool. But there's been times when I had to, take tests and swim, like, in a lake or something like that. Or, like, if you're flying and you're flying over bodies of water. And sometimes I have dreams. I recently did have a dream about I was on a large body of water that was had the waves where, like, people were surfing. And I was even, like, on a surf, and I know I don't do that. So I have a fear of, like, of large bodies of water or being caught in a large body of water. And the water, I guess the part of the fear of it is the water is deep. It's just like, I know it's like almost endless. So I'm thinking, like, would I be able to swim in the water? Or sometime, like, I like to go and sit by the water. I like the water. I like sitting by the water. And I think sometime, like, when I go to Bell Out to Bell Isle and I think about, well, wow, because I know that current is very strong. And what if I get caught in it? How am I going to get out? And I don't know. And there are some people that can really, I saw, like, some people swimming, like, when they were taking this swim test and in the lake, and they were doing it with such ease. And it took me forever to get in that water because I was so afraid of the water. I said, oh, because I couldn't see. I don't know whether it's because I couldn't see or, like, if I'm in a swimming pool, I feel I'm okay, I'm comfortable. But, like, large bodies of water, I don't That don't fit well with me at all.
Well, you're not by yourself. I don't like the water either. And I know how to float. At least you can swim. I know how to float and hold on to somebody else. That's why I'm saying I don't like bridges. You know, I'm not that. It's not that I'm feared of them because I have driven across them, you know, all my life. But to a certain point in my life, then that was a fear came over me. Okay, even like the highways. You know, I had to drive down there to see my ex-husband and stuff like that on the highway. Then I drove my husband now on the highway. But still, you know, it's still, I can't control other people. I can just control the car that I'm driving in. And so my fear is, you know, that they may run over or just, you know how that is. And I just be thinking and stuff. And so I'm like that. And it's not a bad fear to me anymore like it used to be. It used to be. Now, my daughter was telling the truth when she said she really liked my driving. I really like her driving because she know exactly how I want her to drive, and I don't have to, and I feel good riding with her. So, you know, it's good. Like, I feel comfortable. And it's not that I don't feel comfortable with other people. I can go to sleep while she driving, if I didn't feel like she was going to go to sleep if she tired. So I stay awake, and we stay awake and keep both of us up. But La Triviata, I can't ride with La Triviata, honey. La Triviata drive real fast. That's the fear of man crossing the bridge with her doing 65. That was La Triviata. I said, girl, give me my car. But anyway, I understand that fear. But fear don't come from God. Yeah, we know that. Fear don't come from God. So when we get it, we have to bind and rebuke it, all this other kind of stuff, and send it back to the pits of hell where it come from, because it do not come from God. So, you know, the heart. And I just got way off of that. Fear is a crippling thing. It is. Now, the other thing is anxiety. A broken spirit. You can get anxiety from that, too, because 12 and 25, a constant fretfulness produces a depressing anxiety that eats away at the spirit and consumes it. Worries and trouble weighs us down until they break us. That's something we can't do. Let me tell you something. That stuff right there will kill you. It'll kill you. Anxiety and stuff will kill you off. Quickest thing in the book that'll kill you. Wearing is a sin, first of all, and it will kill you if you're not careful with worrying and being stressed and all that stuff. That's no good. 12 and 25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. It maketh it stoop. And let me see. I don't know what stoop means, but to stoop down or it balls up. It's a heaviness. And I tell you, when you get that heaviness in heart, you will know about it. Nobody else understands like you what that heaviness of heart will do to you, that worry and troubles. It weighs us down until they break us. And that comes from the enemy. It comes from the enemy. The word of God said worrying is a sin. We should never worry. And I'm guilty of it myself. But we should never worry. That's why we have to repent. Matthew 6 and 25 says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Let me see. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to, how this and that. We don't have to do that. But worrying is a sin, and trouble don't last always. But it's a heavy weight when you're troubling and you're in trouble, or someone you know, or your baby, your grandbaby, your children. So, yeah, we fast, we pray, we do all we can. But we have to surely depend on God. Depend on him. I tell you, depend on God. And the next one is depression. And this is our last one. Depression, which is often self-inflicted, then worsens by neglecting responsibilities, resentment, self-pity, etc., is a downward spiral. It's a downward spiral that ultimately causes a person to break his own spirit. So we all know about depression. Fear, anxiety, and depression come from hell, come from the enemy. Depression is showing up come from the enemy. And we don't need none of that in our lives, none of it. Because it's no good for us. Not by a long shot. It is Psalms 15 and 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart have continual feast. Let me see. 12 and 25. And this is just on depression. Oh, that's the heaviness of heart again, and that is depression. And if we're not careful, it'll take you down, break you, and everything else. But if you have God, if you have the Lord on your side, if you depend on him, not man, but on God, let me tell you something. It'll work. It'll work for you. Just depend on him. I'm telling you, I don't care what it looks like. Depend on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Amen. Any questions or comments before we get ready to close out? Amen. I just want to thank everyone for being on the radio broadcast. and out in radio land. I was kind of, you know, thrown off a little bit today. But, and then people constantly text me and call me all. I have 5 calls since I've been on this conference, on the radio broadcast, and somebody called me again. And so I'm going to get ready to close out. And I just want to thank you all again and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you right now for everything that you've done for us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for opening up our understanding, Lord, on tonight. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how our heart could be, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for every heavy heart on tonight, every burdened down heart, Father, every broken spirit and broken heart, Father. We pray right now that you build it back up and build it back together, Father, and look at the heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory on tonight. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and both now and forever. Amen. Amen. You know, I love you all. You all could call me at any time. I love you. You all have a blessed night. Amen. And I will, tomorrow night, we'll have our armor bearers meeting right here on the radio. God bless you all. I love you. Have a good night. Amen. Hello?